Morning, everyone. We're going to get started today. It is continuing on with some of our lessons. And let me pull up all my notes. Add them up. Where'd they go? Hang on. Here we go. Busting the cycle of overwhelm. That is what we are doing today. It is part of taking big ass action, which is what we are studying this month. Let me get my screen's all set up because you can't set them up ahead of time. Here we go. And let me get my participants up so I can see who all's here. Hello from the great state of Washington, Cheryl Moore. And Coach Lisa, let me bring you up. And then, all right. As we always do, when Corinne's going to play a video, today's a watch party, so we're going to watch one video. We are all going to pray to the baby Jesus in the golden diaper, or whoever you pray to, the wizard behind the curtain, that I do this correctly. So we're crossing our fingers, everybody. We're going to start with the video, and then I'm going to come in, and then I'm going to teach y'all some stuff on overwhelm that I think is going to be very helpful. It's kind of some new stuff that goes along with busting overwhelm, since I know that's kind of a big deal for a lot of you. All right, so I know we share the screen first. We share the sound. We optimize the video clip. We go to advanced, I believe. We go to files. No. We go to advanced. I think I click on this, and then I go to desktop. I think I got this. I think I actually have this. We're going to know in a hot second if this is going to work. Hot second. Unsupported format. Try a different file. All right, let me try the other one. I'm glad I downloaded both. Because I was like, I don't know. Is it MP4 or MOV? All right. Looks like it's MP4. Okay. Now, I'm going to hit play. And then y'all are going to tell me in the chat if you can hear it. It's the next big hurdle we must all overcome.
In order to take big ass action, we must talk about two types of people, the overwhelmer and the underwhelmer. And in this lesson, I'll teach you the common characteristics of each. One of the best ways to become someone who takes big ass action is to know what is getting in your way. And being an overwhelmer or underwhelmer may be keeping you stuck and taking half-assed actions that yield little to no results. Once you know which one you might be, it'll be easier to spot when you're experiencing overwhelm or underwhelm. Noticing when these two strike gives you the ability to course correct on the fly. A lot of weight loss happens by tightening up how fast you notice when you're off track, and then quickly, without drama, getting back on path. The big ass action weight loss formula is simple. Notice when you're off track and adjust with calm. Weight loss slows down when you use the half-assed formula. Notice you're off track, beat yourself up, and try to force yourself to adjust. When you're forcing yourself from beatdowns, you increase the risk of staying stuck or quitting. Remember, big ass action isn't about being perfect or hard. It's about taking those small steps consistently enough to get the result of weight loss. Do you know what's really hard? It's not giving up carbs or counting calories. I'll tell you what's hard. Catching yourself halfway through a bag of fucking chips and calmly telling yourself, time to take big ass action. I'm stopping the eating because I caught myself halfway into the Cheetos. And I'm going to learn right now instead of talk to myself like an asshole. Now that's some hard shit to do, but that's what I want you doing. Sometimes being kind to yourself so you can make the next best decision is the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's important to know the difference between being an overwhelmed or underwhelmed person. I want you to watch for them and course correct as needed. So let's start with an underwhelmer. This is someone who often thinks, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like eating this. I don't feel like planning. I don't feel like exercising. I don't feel like folding that laundry I keep saying is driving me nuts. When you rely on feeling like doing something to take action, you're going to find a lot of half-assing in your life. You'll do a lot of procrastination that often looks like procrastinating, sleeping in, or putting off planning your food and things that you would love to do around your house. You go through life always wanting to lose weight, but rarely feel like doing the things needed to make it happen. The problem is that in order to feel like doing shit, you need a well-managed mind. You gotta learn to think in a way that motivates you, gets you to feel willing, or at the very least, understand why you will do what you are dreading, regardless of your short-term whims. All of those thoughts are signaling you something. You are never letting yourself react to what comes up in your mind. That's fine when you're a child to ignore your thoughts. You don't even have the ability to listen to your thoughts and change gears. But you're not a kid anymore. You're a grown-ass woman. And that means you do have the ability to hear bullshit when your brain offers it. Instead of reacting to, I don't feel like it, tell another truth that helps you stop being underwhelmed in your life. You could think, I feel like eating off plan right now because I'm having thoughts of entitlement to what I want in the moment. That's okay, but it doesn't mean I have to react to it. A salad today won't kill me. It's totally fair to eat a salad. And after lunch, I will feel better than I do right now saying no to myself. This type of self-directed and purposeful thinking shifts you from underwhelm, which often feels apathetic, like you don't give a shit or lazy, and it moves you into feeling aware, in charge, and focused. If you're an underwhelmer, you've probably turned half-ass action into your lifestyle. The only things that get done are the things you feel like doing in the moment. And to feel like it, you have to remember how the think, feel, do cycle works. Your thoughts will always dictate if you feel like doing what you say you will do. It won't be what's happened around you. For example, let's say your partner wants to order pizza when you plan to cook some stir fry for dinner. It'll be your thoughts about pizza and your thoughts about cooking that will have you willing to follow your plan or not feeling like doing what you planned. When you live your life needing to feel like doing things, you are dependent on the stars aligning in your life and your mind to be naturally perfect in its thinking to achieve your goals. Well, here's a fucking newsflash. You don't need to ever feel like doing anything. It's nice when it happens, but feeling like it doesn't come naturally. Our brains rarely feel like doing anything new, what it senses might be hard, or what appears to be risky. For example, have you ever overate at dinner because you were afraid you'd get hungry at 9 o'clock? That's your brain thinking stopping at enough is risky, when in reality, you could learn to stop at enough and roll the dice on getting hungry. Just see what happens and learn from it. Know this, your brain is wrong about a lot of shit. That habit part of your brain is the one that offers up a ton of bullshit you hear. But lucky you, you have the conscious brain, the reasoning part of your brain that can spot bullshit from a mile away. This is the part of your mind that thinks about your whys. It's the one that redirects your mind, overrides crappy commands like sleeping in, and makes plans for what might get in your way each and every day. The bottom line for underwhelmers is this. Feeling like it comes from redirecting your mind when you hear crap. Deciding on purpose how you'll think about yourself in a journal. And planning your day so that when you want to be spontaneous, you know that you already planned for what you ultimately want. You are just spontaneous at 8 fucking a.m. in the morning. Your in-the-moment desire is wrong about what you want in your mouth and for your life. All right, my little pretties. It's time to switch gears and give our overwhelmers some attention. Now, overwhelmers, y'all feel like you are constantly taking action. But the problem is the things you do are rarely the most important things that you could be doing. You get stuff done, but it never feels like it's enough. You worry you're doing things wrong or if what you're doing is good enough. This leads to feeling anxious, worried, frantic, and exhausted. Overwhelmers can make themselves do shit, but they do it like an asshole. And what do I mean by this? First, overwhelmers think everything is important. From the dishes to taxes, to finishing a project at work that could lead to a promotion, to attending the neighborhood potluck, everything is equal value. There's very little conscious decision-making on what to do because it's truly important and valuable. You rarely hear an overwhelmer say, "I decided to let the dishes go a couple of days so I could rest and finish that big-ass project at work at 100%. You would hear them say, "I can't handle doing all the things all the time," while you're sitting there washing your dishes, standing at the sink. You're lying to yourself because you're sitting there getting everything done, feeling overwhelmed about it, and not getting any rest mentally because of your mismanaged mind. It doesn't matter if you do the dishes or if you go to bed early. What does matter is the story you tell yourself if you want to quit being overwhelmed. So question your list of things to do. Rank them by impact on your quality of life. Start allowing yourself to realize you have false expectations of what is important and what is something you are just believing you have to do to be worthy, good enough, or deserving. This leads us to our second problem with overwhelmers. Whereas underwhelmers always allow the external world to dictate if they feel like doing something, overwhelmers allow getting things done to decide their worth. And when your self-worth, how much love you give yourself, how much adoration or thanks you think you will get from the world depends on what you do versus what you think of yourself. Well, you'll always have a long list of things to get done. And it won't be filled with good, high quality of life things. You're going to need that list to feel needed. And you need to keep pushing yourself to do things to feel valued or worthy. Your list will never end. I want you to know this. Your self-worth is dictated by your own thoughts about yourself. It's not dictated by what you get done in a day. If you want to be proud, fulfilled, or confident, you're going to need thoughts, not more things to do. For overwhelmers, to take big-ass action, it's just two steps. First, ask yourself, how can I get into motion right now? What's the easiest thing I can do in this moment? And once you know that, then you do it. The secret to overwhelm is this. You cannot feel overwhelmed when you're taking action. Any action, including the smallest ones, are the antidote to feeling overwhelmed. Both over and underwhelmers share one thing. They both get caught up in half-assing weight loss due to a lack of compassionate and meeting yourself where you are at planning of their day and their thinking. Both sometimes think planning hurts them. It either robs them of spontaneity or highlights all the choices they have in their brain. Isn't that crazy? Underwhelmers think planning gives them less choices and is constricting, when in reality, they are getting to plan whatever they want. They are just planning what they want with their goals in mind instead of their whims and immediate gratification. Overwhelmers think there's too many options, so they avoid planning. But what's really happening is by planning, they learn how to get things done that matter and to say no to things they've never questioned before. They learn how to snuff out their black and white thinking around food and errands. And they give themselves a plan of things to do that's well thought out so that all day they can shut down the worry, overthinking, and giving bullshit things too much importance. So I want to teach you what I've done to get out of these mindsets. I've been both, so don't worry if you're sitting there thinking, "Shit, Corinne, I resonate with both of them." Well, you're in good company. I won't say I never do either of these things anymore, but I am a master at catching myself when I'm doing them. Getting intentional about how I set my day up has been the superpower of my weight loss. Growing this business and having balance in my personal life. You need a solid morning routine because mornings are the time of day your brain is likely to be on its best behavior. and mornings set the tone for the day. Having a consistent routine each day, no matter what else is happening outside of you, sets your mind and body up for some success. The day is going to be a lot easier to crush when the morning is right. Underwhelmers might think, but what if I don't feel like it? And overwhelmers might think, but I don't have time. Both of those thoughts probably come from thinking that a good morning routine takes a long time and is jack-loaded with a dozen rituals and meditations before the sun even rises. You don't need to go there. You just need a simple 10-minute routine that can change everything. So, wake up and don't let yourself go back to sleep. Just set an alarm to get up 10 minutes earlier than you normally do. When that alarm goes off, do like Mel Robbins says and do a wake-up countdown. In your head, think 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And when you hit 1, get your ass up. It's a simple brain hack. When you're counting, your habit brain, with all of its whining, loses its control over you. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to drink 16 ounces of water. I keep water by my bed, so it's easy to do. I sit up, drink some water, and I head on into the bathroom. Water first thing in the morning is a natural stimulant. Your body starts to perk up because it's getting hydration from your overnight fast. Then move to another room or away from that cozy bed. I need a change of location to convince my brain, bitch, we're up. Now, I want you to make your 24-hour plan. Don't give yourself a lot of time. Just answer naturally so that you build the habit of planning. And once you're done, I want you to visualize one thing you're looking forward to for the day. And think of one thing you're grateful for. I want you to take that 10 to 20 seconds to visualize some good stuff, because I bet the bullshit's gonna come flying in after. I think this is a particularly helpful routine for our overwhelmers. Now, all of that takes 10 minutes. If you want some bonus points, listen to some no BS lessons or a coaching call while you shower, dress, and brush your teeth. You wouldn't believe how much personal development you can do while you're getting ready, trust me. Now, establishing this routine will change your life because you're starting with your brain in control of you instead of the world being in control of you. You're setting up your mindset and how you want to show up for yourself each day. And it'll take time to get it nailed. You'll probably see the benefits in about 2 to 3 weeks. The first 2 to 3 weeks, expect your brain to bitch, moan, and be a child about it. But just keep going. Some days you might have a legit emergency, and that's okay. Just do your routine the next day without making a big-ass deal on missing a day. And one benefit to missing a day is you can compare what your day with a plan and without one is like. You might notice it's more chaotic. You feel tired from having to make decisions all day, and that you end up doing things you wouldn't normally want for yourself. And that's good information to know. Now, once you get into the groove, you can check out your guide for ways to keep leveling up your routines, whether you're an overwhelmer or an underwhelmer. Or maybe you just need a little inspiration to change things up. So set yourself up to get started today, and I'll see you in the next lesson.
Okay, so I have a few notes before I even get into the notes I compiled this morning to talk to y'all about, just based on some of your comments. And I'm sorry, my throat is full. All right, so number one, a lot of comments were coming in like, oh shit. Oh no, I'm both. Will y'all please check yourself for about half a second? What do I teach y'all in no BS? We cannot be sitting there and shitting on ourselves about the way we are naturally wired. Step one, stop fucking beating yourself up over nonsense. Like, if you want to lose weight, that has to stop. I'm going to have to change the basics. And step one is going to be, stop catastrophizing and making everything such a fucking big deal that you feel like ass. Because the more you feel like ass, like, if you're going to start off this, like, look, we're talking about taking big ass action. It's really hard to start taking big ass action when you feel like ass about yourself. Why would you ever do it? So it is normal. All of us sometimes think, I don't feel like it. Like, who in your walk in life do you know has not said, I don't feel like this? Ever. That means that every person you know at some point in their life is an underwhelmer. So you ain't no special snowflake because you do that. Number two, how many of you have felt overwhelmed? And how many of you know someone who's never felt overwhelmed? Said no one ever. So if we don't learn nothing from today, here's the one thing we're going to learn. I do not beat myself up simply because sometimes I don't feel like doing things and sometimes I think I have too much to do. That's just called being a human. And I just think this is so important because I watch y'all all the time being overly dramatic about things. It's like, and I want you to think about this. If every time you listen to a no BS lesson and you think, oh no, that sounds like me, when my job is to highlight all the things that are standing in your way, but when you uncover something standing in your way and you make it a personal assault, something must be wrong with me. Oh my God, I must be broken. Holy shit, I'm the one who's worse than everybody else. You are not going to want to learn other things. It is not a problem to learn things you're not good at. Can we all just take a breath for a second? Every one of you, including me, suck at things. Every one of you, including me, suck at things. Fact. Not a big deal. It's the way it's supposed to be. There ain't been but one perfect person ever walked the face of this earth. And you need to try to stop trying to be that one. Because unless you're going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, you out of luck. So we might as well give it up. The idea that we shouldn't be flawed, broken in some way, something wrong. We don't do things right. We're not good at this. It's just life. But here's what is the difference between someone who succeeds and someone who stays stuck. The person who stays stuck looks down on themselves whenever they find that shit. And the more they look down on themselves, the less they're going to try to look for things and change things. You know what successful people do? They take a hard look. And then they try to figure out how to do better. A little bit at a time, all the time. They're not wasting emotional energy and they're not wasting time thinking they're flawed. If you want to lose weight fast, quit wasting time thinking you're flawed. Cut that shit out. I want all of you to just take a moment. And I want you to think about, where would I be right now if in the last 3 months I had all the time back that I wasted thinking I couldn't do it, I'll probably fail, worrying that something's wrong with you, shaming yourself. Like, just think about all the time that you spent in the energy of worrying about your flaws, shaming yourself for your flaws. Now, that's time wasted. Because I doubt any of you have been so hard on yourselves that today you're a fucking diamond. If that kind of pressure works for you, go for it. But most of you are here because that pressure does not work for you in your life. So now that you've like conceptualized, in the last 3 months, all that time, probably a lot for most of us, right? Now I want you to think about the unintended negative consequences of allowing yourself to be so hard on yourself all the time. How many of your overeats are coming from thinking something's wrong with you? You didn't do enough. It won't be enough. You probably won't be able to do it anyway. It's probably going to be too hard for me. Well, I don't feel like it. And most of you don't feel like it, not for a good reason. Most of the time, you don't feel like doing things because you're talking negatively about yourself. I don't feel like it because I think I suck at it. I don't feel like it because I probably won't do it right anyway. I don't feel like it because, I'll probably screw it up. I don't feel like it because it won't matter. I'm not good enough. If you want to feel like doing things, first and foremost, we have got to stop the shame trains as often as you can. And then don't turn around and tell me, but I do mess up. Okay, I mess up all the time, but guess what I don't do? Sit around and take a dump on myself. If I mess up, I'm like, all right, that didn't go like I thought it would. What do I need to do to either do better next time, to learn from this, or to fix this? You can be productive in the moment, or you can be a punching bag in the moment. No more being your own punching bag. All right. So, are we fucking clear? We are not going to have a pity party or feel sorry for ourselves simply because we're both. All right. Y'all got me fired up. It's like 10:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. Come on. The next thing, when you hear, I don't feel like it, I want you to replace, like the moment you hear, I don't feel like it, I want you to say, but adding but to things, we're going to learn this at body image camp. We're going to talk a hell of a lot about how to do transitional thinking, because I feel like with body image, it's probably the hardest place in the entire world for any of us to change our thinking, because everything we think about our body is just, that's just the God's gospel. It's just true. It's not just true. There are always little levers, little triggers, little extras that we can do to our thinking that's going to help us feel a little better, a little different, or give us some insight. So when you hear yourself saying, I don't feel like it, I want you to say, but can I do it? Because there's a big difference between feeling like doing something and the ability to do something. So I'll give you a good example. This morning, we got them new cats. One of them has got diarrhea. And poor thing, she's pooped her box and she's pooped my brand new rug twice. She's pooped the gym. Like, I think sometimes she just gets where she has to just go right then. Like when she's like, for God's sake, she's my cat. I shit my pants a few months ago. I'm like, this is my poor cat. Naturally, I would get a cat that shits herself. So we took her to the vet yesterday. We're giving her medicine this morning. I'm like cruising through the living room and I look into my sunroom. Lo and behold, she has shit on the rug again. I'm like, fuck me. Now, how many of you by raise of hand would say, I bet Corinne felt like cleaning that up? No, there was not 1 ounce. In fact, I stared at it and thought, I wonder when JJ's coming. I wonder how long this could actually sit here. And I was like, shit, it smells like shit. I need to clean this up. This is just gross. So I did it. The entire time, I didn't feel like it. But can I do it? Yes. And do I have a good reason? A lot of times when you don't feel like doing something, you need to ask yourself, I know I don't feel like it. That is normal. Like you need to normalize not feeling like it. But then you got to challenge yourself a little bit and say, like, but can I do this? And if the answer is yes, then say, okay, then will I do this? Because now we're just at the point of either we'll do it or I won't do it. And I strongly believe that when you start using different language, like I will or I won't, it changes things. So I want you all to try it on for a moment. Think of something that you don't feel like doing either right now or you're not going to feel like doing later. Like, I got a leg workout later today. I already don't feel like doing it. I wanted to do it this morning, but it was not in the cards to get that leg workout done and clean up shit and get ready for calls and do all the other things I needed to do. So it's going to the afternoon. When I say I don't feel like it, it feels permissive. It feels apathetic. It feels easy. And it feels true. That's why it's such a dangerous thought when it's left alone. But it's not true. And this is what I always tell myself. In the moment, it's like, Corinne, part of you does not feel like it. But part of you wants something different. And there's the truth. So it doesn't matter if you feel like it. Now the only thing that matters is, will I do it or will I not do it? And so I want you to think about this. If you think, I will do this, even though I don't want to, how do you feel? For me, here's some of the feelings that come up. Willing. Okay. Resigned. To me, resigned is better than apathetic. I want you to think about this. There's no glorious feeling coming along for the ride. Not a single one. But most of the time, y'all are looking for excited, excited, happy. We are not crack addicts. We are not going to live the creed of the crackhead, which means every moment I gotta feel amazing. Most of you are trying to live by the crackhead creed. That is not an OBS woman. So now I want you to try on this thought. It's not that I don't feel like it. I just won't do it. When I say that, it's very clarifying. I don't feel like it is like letting myself off the hook. When I say, I won't make my plan, I won't go do my leg day today, it feels very decisive, but it's very clarifying. Like, are we sure? Like, especially because it's something important, it makes your brain pause. Because now that I won't do it is flying in the face of the part of you that actually does want to do it. The version of you that has goals, she is not loud. She is never going to sexy talk you. She's just sitting there waiting for you to go get them. She is a quiet storm. Her job is not to motivate you. That's your job. In the moment, it is not your goal's job to get you off your ass. That's your job. And sometimes that means we do things when we don't feel like it in the moment. And we have to have these conversations with ourselves, because then eventually what happens is, in the very beginning, it's a very deliberate conversation. And y'all, it feels hard in the moment. It's almost like you're arguing with yourself a little bit. There's a push and a pull, but that's the thing we've got to be doing. You've got to quit not arguing with yourself some. You've got to quit just being like, but my brain thinks. Y'all are waving the white flag at every thought. It's just like, here we are, waving our white flag. I had a thought. Guess I can't do it. Stop waving the white flag. Get in there. Storm the hill. Battle for yourself. Argue a little bit. Negotiate. Can I just get something done? No matter if I think it's good enough or not. That is required for overwhelmers and underwhelmers. If you want to be taking action, that's required. Also, what a lot of you also do, especially in the underwhelming world, is you sit back and you don't feel like a lot of shit. and you just sit and you sit and you sit until it becomes an emergency. And then guess what? Your ass is taking all the action. Wouldn't life be easier if you just did a few things without it being an emergency? I don't think a lot of you realize how much of your life in emergency mode started because you were kicking the can down the road and you had to wait to the last minute to get things done. And then it felt like an emergency. And then you act like, my life is so chaotic. Things just happen left and right. I'm not saying that shit doesn't happen. Trust me. Shit happens. But if you're in a chronic state of overwhelm and you're every day, you've got something to, like every day things are getting in the way. Now we have a pattern. We don't have a chaotic life. We actually have probably some real self-reflection that needs to happen, because sometimes it comes down to you are taking on too many things. You think you have a chaotic life? No. Sometimes you refuse to say no when you know you need to. So then you're like, I'm going to self-sacrifice my self-care, and I'm going to self-sacrifice my weight loss and all this other stuff so I can make sure that so-and-so next door, when they called with their emergency, that I was seen as the good girl running over there to help because I didn't want to say no. Sometimes when we notice we have a pattern of chaos in our life, we've got to look for what's really the root cause of it. Is it people pleasing? Is it lack of doing things when I don't feel like it? When I don't feel like it, look for those patterns. So often we set ourselves up for all of that stuff. We avoid tough conversations. Almost every problem in my business always boils down to me waiting too long to have a hard conversation with someone. And the hard conversation is never as hard as I think it's going to be. So I want you examining those areas, because overwhelm and underwhelm sometimes are masking things that we really need to be root cause looking at in our lives. And then, yes, you can be both. That was the other thing. Somebody had asked, like, why do we kind of go from one extreme to the other? Let me show you. And I've got to move my chair. I keep promising myself that I'm going to fix all of this, and I don't do it, but I'm going to stay standing. Lisa, don't let me go over. You know, I got an 11 o'clock call. Start waving the flag in the chat if I start going over too much. All right. We've talked about this several times, y'all. Underwhelm is usually in the comfort zone. Overwhelm is in the scared shitless zone. So when I'm in my comfort zone, I'm like, well, I don't feel like it. So I'll do that on another day. I'll start tomorrow. We stay in our comfort zone thinking that there's some version of us that's going to magically feel like doing this. She's probably not going to feel like doing it any more than you are. It's just one or two things going to happen. She's going to keep kicking the can down the road and never actually do it, but stay frustrated because she's not getting the things she wants out of her life. Or she's going to kick it down to the end of the road until she can't kick anymore. Then it becomes a catastrophe, an emergency. And then she's like, oh my God, chaos is strong. Like, oh my God, I'm so unfortunate. Things always happen to me. And then she has to take care of business. That's usually what's happening. We want to be in the discomfort zone, which means that when we don't feel like it, we ask ourselves, but can I just, and get out of being comfortable doing nothing and at least get into being a little uncomfortable. Sometimes the most uncomfortable thing for y'all is going to be doing something that doesn't feel like it's good enough. That's hard. Because your brain is screaming, oh no, it's not good enough. You should be doing more. You should be doing the scared shitless things. Having the courage, backbone, and spine to tell yourself, look, bitch, we're going to get started. We're going to try something. I know you think it's not good enough, but I can't like sit here hating my life, feeling stuck, feeling like underwhelmed all the time, getting nowhere, because that sucks too. I would rather be taking action and feel like it's not good enough, because at least there I have the hope of something working, than to be sitting back doing nothing and feeling stuck, like I'll never get the things I want. Don't do that to yourselves. All right, so this is what we want, like this is what we want to remind ourselves. And when we're overwhelmed, it's because we're thinking of all the things we got to do. So I do have some notes on that. So let me switch gears to my overwhelmers. So there's a couple of things that you can use that the underwhelmers are using too. Can I just is always a good one to get you into action. Whether you're an underwhelm or overwhelm, just saying things like, can I just do this? Can I just do that? Take some steps, because the moment you start taking some steps, your brain has to switch gears. It has to focus on what you're doing. It doesn't have as much energy to yammer at you. It has to shut down. This isn't good enough to focus on doing the task. Then when it starts back up, just say like, all right, I know you think it's not good enough, but I did something. That's already better than what I've been doing. It's your job. If you want to think better, you have to start purposely talking differently. None of you are getting a lobotomy anytime soon. If I could give them away as challenge prizes and cut out the part of you that's negative, I would. But that is impossible. So stop sitting back going like, I don't know why I think this. Who gives a fuck? It does not matter why you think the way you do. What matters is, what will you think? What will you tell yourself? How often are you willing to pivot? That's all that matters. And if you want to one day be someone who naturally thinks differently, then today you have to unnaturally do it. The only way future you, who actually feels like doing some stuff, or the future you who, like, the moment she doesn't feel like it, can make her do it, make herself do it, drag her sorry ass into action. If you want to be her, then today you have to take the first steps. The first steps are, today she has to talk to herself different. Every time she hears the old shit, we got to plug in the new shit. That is the only way. Otherwise, you sitting back and being like, it's just so unfair. I think this way. I don't know why I do. I hope one day it's different. I don't know why I don't change, but I keep thinking. I guess because I keep thinking this, I'm never going to be able to. That shit has to stop. What you think does not control your outcomes. What you think does not control your outcomes. What you think is optional. Anything. It's debatable. It's up for interpretation. It's on you to pivot. And the more you do that, the easier it is to take different actions. All right. So let me tell you a couple other things. When we're in overwhelm, it always, like almost always starts with something like, I should be doing something. So we have to get, for overwhelmers, you've got to get really clear on what's required to do things. So when you have a list of, I should be, I should be, I should be, that is like the swan song of the overwhelmer. You want to question each one of your shoulds. Because sometimes when you're questioning them, it wiggles you out. It's like, really? Should I really be doing this? Or is it I'm either going to do it or I'm not? Because I'm going to tell all of you, you don't have to do shit. It's hardly any, like a lot of y'all think there's things you have to do, like you have to take care of your kids. No, you don't. People ding dong ditch them kids all the time. My dad ditched me. You choose not to. I should be taking care of my elderly parents. Really? You may want to, because that's the kind of daughter you want to be. There's a lot of things, but you don't have to. Like sometimes when we question things, it just puts things in a little bit of perspective. Short of somebody putting a gun to your head on things, there's nothing in life you're doing because at some root cause level, you want to do it. And when you really look for the reason why, even the bullshit things, even the painful things, I would ask myself, if I'm doing it, why do I want to actually do this? Because I'm probably avoiding something. I'm probably like, there is always like, if you're doing something, it is because not doing it in your mind somehow is going to be more painful. And figuring out what that's about and taking that to ask coaches will help you unlock so many doors in your weight loss. And I promise you, that is just the way the brain works. So if there's something that you're doing over and over and over again, and you swear you don't want to be doing that, challenge yourself and say, like, I wouldn't be doing it if I truly didn't want to. So there is a part of me that is scared to do the other thing. There's a part of me that's scared to tell them no, to leave this marriage, to not do this thing, to do this thing. And figuring out what that is and taking it to ask coaches and then figuring all that out with a coach will help you make progress. And y'all, these are the things we have to be working on in our life because I guarantee you, those things that you say you don't want to be doing, but you're doing over and over and over again are probably the very same things that you're emotionally eating over. And when we fix that stuff, you win in two ways. You actually start solving things in your life that are absolutely making you miserable, holding you back, not letting you be the person you want to be, go after and do the things you really want to be doing. And it solves an emotional eating problem for you. So you get to win twice. One of the other things is replace should with could. So when you hear yourself say, I should be taking care of my parents. I should be spending time with my kids. Say, because that will feel almost demeaning. Say, I could be taking care of my parents. I could be spending time with my kids. And that leaves it up for, like, at least for your brain to think, well, I could be doing that. So do I really want to? What do I really want to do about this? Another thing is find contrary examples to your shoulds. So a lot of you will have shoulds around, like, everybody else can eat carbs but me. I should not be eating carbs. Go into our group. Look at the success stories all the time, every fucking day. People are losing weight, the no BS weight. There is not a day that goes by in our group where someone with menopause, perimenopause, kids, grandkids, aging parents, losing their job, dating, getting a divorce, special diets, had weight loss surgery, you name it, they're losing weight the no BS way. They're eating carbs. They're doing the things. Go find examples of someone like you just to show your brain, I am not as special as I think I am. Because the more you're, it's like, if you want to be special in a good way. Find your unique qualities. Be on the, like, if you want to be a special snowflake, be one in the best way. Do not be special in a way that demeans you, that makes you feel like I'm special in a broken way. Do not do that to yourself. So find examples. And then the other thing I just wanted to touch on, and this, if you will listen to my time management course for all of you who need to get better at managing your time and prioritizing, it is a game changer. But I just want to cover one thing. Overwhelm almost always comes from trying to keep too many things in your head. Most overwhelmers are using their brain as a container instead of a processor. Your brain is meant to think about things. It's meant to make decisions and evaluate and do all that stuff. It is not a memory tool. Even though when we're in school, now we got to memorize 50 capitals, and now we got to memorize our multiplication tables, now we need to memorize these things. Brains, as you get older, they are not equipped to remember a lot of shit. They're always trying to dump. It's just like that commercial in the Super Bowl with Jennifer Aniston with Uber Eats, where it's like, in order to remember this, now I've got to like drop something else. The older you get, the more that happens. Your brain starts letting go and shedding lots of things that it's like, this is just not needed anymore. I couldn't tell you dick about geometry. I couldn't tell you shit about algebra. Half the shit I learned in school, we never ever used. My brain got rid of it. You know why? Because once I got older, I had to learn about how to, finances, business, marketing. Teach people. How do you teach people? How do you write courses? How do you speak without getting nervous? Like, I had to get some skills. So I had to shed the other shit. Look, when you're an overwhelmer, you're probably trying to keep too much shit in your head. So, first of all, write shit down. I keep notes everywhere. I have a notes app that I put stuff in because the second you get it out of your brain, overwhelm will go down some. Now, that's not a cure-all, but if you're trying to remember stuff and you're not a list maker, one of the things that you can do for yourself is to, at the very least, get a piece of paper. Y'all, it does not need to be fancy. I got notes in my notes app. I got notes in my iPad where my good notes are. I got notes on this computer. I've got a project management tool where I keep some notes there. I'm the most disorganized note taker that ever was, but I rarely feel overwhelmed because I know I got it someplace. Now, some of you are going to be OCD as fuck about this, and you're going to be like, I'm going to download software and I'm going to color code it and bedazzle my app. I don't know. Y'all do all kinds of shit. That's fine. But I'm just talking to some of you who won't get started with a fucking simple sheet of paper and writing things down as it comes up. I would get me something if you have a purse that would fit in my purse that you can write stuff down, or I would open up something in your phone and in your notes app, and I would just keep a running list of things you need to remember. That helps a lot. The second thing that I would advise you to do if you get overwhelmed easy, which I do this routinely, I have a calendar on my computer. It works across all my devices. Everything that I have to do goes in a spot on my calendar. Everything. I'm not joking. Every little thing goes on my calendar so that I know I have time to get things done. And I will tell you, I plan out 2 weeks, and I mean, it's all on here, workouts, calls. Like today, I have, like this morning, I had the tasks that I need to get done first thing this morning on my calendar in a block. So I don't have to think about it. And this is what it frees me up to do. A lot of times we think, I will never get it all done. There's not enough time. Okay. I always say to myself, prove it. Prove it. Get your calendar out, schedule when you're going to do all of these things. so that you can see that you either do have the time to get it done, and it's just hard to conceptualize when it's all just kind of running around on a list or in your head, or you don't have enough time. So the last few weeks, I've been, I am doing about four jobs and no BS right now. I mean, like on top of my regular jobs, right? So I do my calendar. I legit didn't have enough time. Like, didn't have enough. Not enough hours in every day. And I was just like stacking. But I was gonna make sure I had my workouts done and stuff. And I was like, fuck me, what am I gonna do? Like, well, I guess I'm gonna have to prioritize. So I started going through my stuff and I was like, okay, what can wait? When you are calendaring and you legit don't have enough time, then what can happen is it forces you into the position to actually prioritize. And you will, because you'll start noticing the things you are going to get done and the things that you like legit don't have time for. That is my secret weapon. And I do it all the time. It always calms me. Every time I talk to Jane, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, like, oh my God, I got so much to do. I got so much to do. I always say, you know what? I'm going to take an hour today to plan out the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm going to make a list of every conceivable thing that I have to do, including my personal life stuff. And I'm going to find a pop spot on it on my calendar so that I can quit telling myself I don't have time or that I can't get it all done. So that I know when it's going to get done. And then I may not feel like doing it, but I promise you, when you have it calendared, you may not be looking forward to it, but you're not wasting time thinking about what to do next. You're just getting into action. And then the last thing is I do, like for a lot of you who get overwhelmed with losing weight, I would do a diet time study. All this means is actually track how much time it's going to take you to lose weight. A lot of you are like, I don't have time to lose weight. And I'm like, tell me all that fucking time it's going to take. I want you to spend 1 week actually doing the things I ask you to do. And time, how long it takes to actually do the things I ask you to do to lose weight so that you can see yourself doing all the things. Just, I don't care if it's for a week, I don't even care if it's just for 3 days. You need to see yourself doing the things for 3 days and then see if it's really so much disruptive to your life, taking up time, ignoring the kids. Like we make up all these stories. And I'm like, I have never taught y'all to do anything inside of no BS that takes that much fucking time. And you will notice, like, oh, the weight loss activities don't take that much time. Am I hungry? Have I had enough? Drink me some water, get my ass to bed. Make a plan. All the other things, like listening to calls, and then I got to do the worksheets, blah, blah. Bitches, from the jump, I tell you, that is the optional crap. Do the four basics. You can work in anything else you want, but that whining that you're doing, like, oh my God, that is not true. So I want you to do a real diet time study. And I want you to see how long does it actually take me? So at least I can quit saying it takes too much time. Then I want you to separate out how much of it is actually time spent trying to lose weight or time spent being afraid you're going to fail, beating yourself up, negotiating if you're going to do things. That's not diet time. That's pivot your brain. All right, everybody. That is it. I gotta go to the other call. Thank you very much for coming to my TED Talk on overwhelm. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.